Thought for today. The time to answer a child's question is when they ask it. A time to answer a child's question is when they ask it. Now let's define terms. How old is a child? Is a child before birth, at birth, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, 50 year, 100 years? When is it that a person is a child, and when is it a person is not a child? Well, in my estimation, everyone is a child. I'm a child. I am constantly having new and wonderful experiences that I'm opening up for myself. And the time to answer a question that I have is when I ask it, because that's when I'm thinking about that thing. Now, we think a time to answer a child's question is when they ask it, and that's true. And basically, that's from the point of view that parents are inundated by questions from their youngsters. Why? Well, we read in a magazine recently that children must ask these questions. And sometimes they're not seeking an answer to the question as much as they are to the authority of the statement. Put your clothes away. Why? Clean up your room. Why? Change your pants. Why? Go to school. Why? Now, these are questions not so much of information as they are of authority. And a parent who recognizes the difference between an information question and an authority question is a wise parent. Put your clothes away. Why? Because I tell you. Why? Because if you don't put them away like I tell you, I shall have to punish you. Why? You ask me why once more, and I am going to punish you now without even asking. Oh, okay. See, the message got through. The authority question was being questioned. Put your clothes away. Why? In other words, why should I put my clothes away when I'm perfectly happy with them laying wherever they happen to fall? I see no benefit in putting my clothing away. My clothing can lie in the hall. It can lie in the living room. It can be in my bedroom. It can be outdoors in the backyard. It doesn't matter. You see, there's no answer to that sort of question. There could be an answer like, put your clothes away so you keep them nice and they'll last longer and so forth. And the child has no concept of why things should last longer, because he lives in the now. The child lives in the instant moment. And so if you say they last longer, he'll say, well, so what? You know, I'm 8 years old now, and I'm 8 1/4, and I'm 8 1/2, you know. And so that's what life's all about for me, is the moment that I'm living in now. So you have to understand the difference between a question of information and a question of authority. This is something that goes with us all of our life. All of our life, we are asking questions of information and questions of authority. The boss says, I would like you to stay later this evening and finish that project. Would you mind? And the answer must be, of course, no. And then you call home and you say, the boss asked me to stay late and finish the project, and so I will be late. I'll be home maybe about 10 o'clock. And are you still going to be up? Yep. Okay, well, if you don't mind, I'd like to just wait and have dinner with you when I get home at 10, if it's okay with you. Oh, that's fine. And you see, there you don't question the authority of the why you had to stay and work late, because your boss said so. And the fact is, you're letting your wife know that you enjoy her company and that you're staying because it's the boss's request and not because of some mistake that you have made. And so you get the questions in their proper order. You get their questions not for information questions, but for factual questions. What is it that you're being asked? You're being asked to do something, and there's no question about it, you must do it. Now, when you go to the bathroom, you lift up the toilet seat. When you leave the bathroom, what do?
Close it.
You put the... Oh, I see. If you open it, you close it. How interesting, isn't it? That's one of the rules of our house, too, here, isn't it? If you open it, you close it. Now, these are just part of things that, as we learn in life, we become much more harmonious with life when we follow through on them. But, unfortunately, we don't always follow through on it because we want to question this because we have questioned it from our childhood on. And, quite likely, we haven't gotten good answers. Now, if your mother says, put your clothes away, why? Well, if you put your clothes away, then I won't have to do it. So, who cares if you have to do it, Jim? Well, I care if I have to do it. I have other things to do. That's not the point. That's not the point at all. Put your clothes away. Why? Because I say so. And in the back of the mother's mind is the fact, I'm teaching this child good habits, good manners now. And these manners are not to be questioned. These manners are just to be followed. There are some things in life that are just to be followed. Now, don't spill your milk. Why? Well, there's no answer to that. You don't spill your milk because you don't want to make a mess on the table and you don't want to have a new glass of milk poured because you spilled it and so forth. But just don't say don't spill your milk. It's now, you're a big boy. Can you handle that glass well? Yes, Mommy. And you hold it tight and you know, handle it beautifully? Yes, Mommy. Now, isn't that better than don't spill it? But how many mothers have the time to think of that answer? How many mothers have the time to come up with that sort of response? And what are you coming up with, Ellen? Ellen raises her hands up in the air as though she says, I never had trouble coming up with that kind of response. When I dealt with my children, I always told them the truth, and they always listened and followed it beautifully. Right, Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. Mm-hmm. So, you see, this is the way to raise children. But if you raise children from infancy on, and you say to children from infancy on, you say, you are a loving child. You are a cooperative child. You like to be a member of this family. You like to be part of this family and do the things that make the family all happy and harmonious and good. You enjoy that. You're teaching the child these facts. You're planting these seeds in the mind of the child. And what happens to the child? The child lives that way. Mark was raised on classic music. Faith and I loved classical music, and we always played it. And we had it on all of our tapes, all of our records, all of our radios, whatever stations we had, it was a classical station. And then he had friends come over when he was in his teens, and he said, now we have a rule in this house, among many, and that is we only listen to classical music. What? You know. The others had not been raised on classical music, for to them it was difficult to determine to listen to classical music. But for Mark, that was all that he knew. Now that didn't make him a especially wonderful child. It did make him a especially wonderful child, but that didn't make him a especially wonderful child. What made him a especially wonderful child was that he was obedient, that he learned the rules of the house, that he learned the way in which we operated that house. And he came into that house not because he wanted to establish his own rules. Now listen to that very carefully. He came into that house not because he wanted to establish his own rules, but because he wanted to be living by the rules of that house. That's why he came there. He could have chosen another house that had less rules. He could have done anything. But he chose that because those were part of the program he chose to live this life by. All of us do that. Now, if you go down to, well, let's just say you go out in the desert and you're driving out on these desert roads, these dirt roads. Do whatever you like. Speed, drive crazy, do all sorts of things. Nobody cares. There are no rules out there. But you get on the paved highway. You get on a county, state-controlled highway. And then you have to obey the rules. There's a speed limit. There are turn procedures. There are all sorts of things that you must do. You must stay on your own side of the road and many other things. But you see, when you're on the state-owned road or the county roads, you have to follow the rules that the county and state have. When you're on no man's land, you can drive however you wish. Now, you could choose to be born in no man's land. You could choose to be born in a place where there are no rules, but there are always rules, but there are fewer rules. And you could choose to be born and live in a place where you could do virtually anything you wanted to do. And what would be the problem there? Nothing. However, if you choose to be born wherever rules may exist, whether it's in Switzerland, in Germany, in England, United States, in Africa, South America, it doesn't matter where you're born. You live according to those rules. Now, you take two countries like Guyana, and one next door to it? Sirocco or something like that. It's another nation right next to Guyana in South America. Well, now, Guyana was under British rule, and the British Crown Authority dictated how the people lived there and how the people drove their cars and how the people did everything, all right? While that country next to it was controlled by a totally different government, okay? And in being controlled by a totally different government, they had quite different responses to what the rules should be. The rules of the British government rubbed off on them a lot because they were between the two countries, and the countries weren't that big. But still, the country next to Surnan, something like that, Surnane, the country right next to Guyana is governed by an entirely different set of rules. You go into Surnane and you feel like you're in a different world. We can say that also. Here we are in California, and we drive 20 miles from here, 1 mile direct, but 20 miles to Tecate, and we drive across the border. We're in a totally different world. The rules are somewhat similar because there are a lot of Americans down there, and they have a lot of American cars and things like that, and so they cooperate with so many rules, but it's different. It's very different. And people love to put the fear of God in you down there, that if you do something wrong and you get captured by the police for doing something wrong, that they do terrible things to you. Well, here in the United States, if you get captured by the police for doing some terrible things get done to you too. And so why are we so fearful? Well, we should drive in Mexico with the same skill that we drive in the United States, and we'd have no trouble. It's only when we start acting crazy or when we start thinking that we're in an unlimited country, a country with less rules than we have, then we get into trouble. The time to answer a child's question is when they ask it. Every child that has been in my life, I've always answered their questions straight away. When I was in the Cub Scouts, I'd answer straight away. When the Boy Scouts, straight away. In the Sunday School, straight away. With my own son and his friends, straight away. Always the questions were straight away. And I didn't expect them to believe me or understand me. I just answered the question. Dad, why is the world round? And I said, that's the way it's made. It comes shooting off of the sun, perhaps, and it's going in a circle, and it's rotating, and apparently the edges get polished off somehow or other like that. Really, it'd be difficult to know why the world is round, except that a ball in space seems to be quite common, whereas things that are not a ball in space are not too common. Asteroids and other things are broken off particles, but why they're round, that I'm not really sure. just probably because it's the easiest way for them to maintain an equilibrium in space. Oh, okay. Now, does he have a better answer from somebody else? No. Nobody's got any better answers. I probably would have read it if they did. But you answer it to the best of your ability, and you let it go. And you don't try to be superior. You just say, hey, as far as I know, that's what it is. And when you answer like that, you gain the respect of the person who's asking the questions. You gain the respect of the world around you. You gain the respect of yourself, because you're not trying to act superior to someone else or something else. So the time to answer a child's question is when they ask it. Now, how many times have you been asked questions by a child? And that means anybody. Did Ingeborg ever come to you and ask you a question, and then you make her feel stupid for asking the question? Did Sylvia ever come to you and ask you a question, and you make her feel like, you know, she should have known that, what's wrong with her, you know, where has she been while the information was being handed out? And you say the same about Anita or Ellen, and you don't do that. You become very humble yourself, and you say, in yourself, they're asking me a question. They're trusting in me to give them an answer. Now it's up to me to be as complete as I can, yet not over complete. Why is 2 times 2 4? Well, don't you know? And the only reason you say don't you know is because you don't know, you know. And why is 2 times 2 4? Well, that's the way the mathematical system has it set up, you know. And there's a 1 and a 1, which makes a 2, and a 2 and a 2, which makes a 4, because it's a 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the way the numbers are given. Maybe it could be 4, 3, 2, 1, you know. The numbers don't have to be in that order. That's just the order that we've given to them. And we become so accustomed to it, we think that, obviously, it could have been no other way. And this is the answer, really, to many of our questions. We are so familiar with them, we think that obviously the answer could be no other way. But always answer every question that is asked of you. Always answer it to the best of your ability. And also in your humility. If you don't know the answer, say, hey, that's a good question. Let me look it up. I really know the answer, but I don't trust myself. Let me look it up. And then you go look it up and you say, yep, that's just what I thought it was. But you don't say it's just what you thought it was. You go back and say, here, I looked up in the encyclopedia, page 24 and line 36 here. It says XYZ equals PDQ, you know. Now, that's humility. That's beauty. That's being a parent of your creation. And all people in your world are your creation. And any person in your world who asks you any question deserves to have a good answer. And deserves to have an answer from you. The time to answer a child's question is when they ask it. Have you developed within yourself the humility to realize that that's your child? They may be 100 years old, maybe 50, maybe 10. That's your child, that's your creation, who's asking you a question. And surely they deserve your very best answer. Time to answer a child's question is when they ask it. And so it is.